So welcome, everybody. This is our second conference call for RF101, which is Recreation and Sport Systems. And today I'm hosting the call from the traditional territories of the Shishala First Nation, which is Sechelt. So it's actually right by the ocean, but a long way away from the ocean where you are. It's by the Pacific Ocean. So I'm quite a long way away from you today. So if I'm missing things in our call, they're probably getting lost somewhere over the country. Today we're going to do a quick round of introductions. And then we're also going to talk a bit more about the recreation sport system, especially in Nunavut, and then talk about the activity that you have to do for next week. And I noticed that a lot of you already did your activity for this week, so thank you so much. If you haven't had a chance to do it yet, don't worry about it. You can do it over the next few days and then worry about the next one. So we'll go around the circle. I'll start with Henry, if that's okay, just so that everybody has a moment to think about my question. And then we'll go in the order that you joined the call, and then the next time round I'll mix it up. So the order you joined the call was Henry, Harriet, Kingite, Kailat, or Chesterfield, and Tanisha. So we'll just kind of, I know you're on different phones, so we'll make it work that way. So my question is, if you can just say your name again and the community that you're in. And then if you read the short document about Nunavut Sport and Recreation System, maybe you could share something that surprised you. And I know some of you will have already shared that in your activity that you shared today. I just haven't had a chance to read them all yet. So it would be interesting to hear your reaction to that. If you haven't had a chance to read it, don't worry about it. Just share your name and tell us something that's gone on in your world the last week if you want to, or you can just pass it to the next person. So Henry, can we start with you just so we don't put Harriet on the spot and we'll go to Harriet after Henry.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So this is Henry, and I'm in Iqaluit. I actually did not read the document, but what has been going on in this past week is that Iqaluit did not close due to a blizzard, as did everybody else. But also currently preparing for the upcoming summit in January. So I'm very excited to meet everybody in person. And for those returning, I'm very excited to see you all again as well. But yeah, that's been, what's been going on this past week for me.
That's great. Thanks, Henry. Harriet, how about yourself? Would you like to introduce yourself and share something that might have surprised you about sport and recreation in Nunavut?
Hi, my name is Harriet. I'm from Baker, and what struck me was how many volunteers we need to host an event.
Yeah, sometimes it takes quite a few, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely, that's a good one, because we often forget about the things that happen, I guess, behind the scenes, right? Like the people it takes to maybe prepare the food or buy the food or clean a facility or things like that. So it can take a lot of volunteers. So thanks for sharing that. Can we go, Kelly, we'll go to Kingite, and I'll let you just sort of facilitate who goes first, and whatever people are comfortable sharing is great.
Hi, Caroline. I think I'm just going to talk for all of them because we discussed it before, that how much the framework's modeled on Inuit societal values. None of us had any idea.
Oh, okay. Well, and what was your reaction to that when you looked at it? Did it feel like it sort of felt better, more like it was Nunavut's framework, or did it was it a surprise, or what did, how did you react to that?
We were surprised and happy about it.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. I actually helped work on that framework, and I talked to a lot of people all over Nunavut, and I was able to talk to some very wise, knowledgeable people as well, and I learned a lot about your territory doing it. So it's important that it feels like it's yours. So thank you for sharing that. That must have been Athena, right?
Yeah, that was Athena.
That's great. Thank you. Well, it's good to hear. Thanks for the feedback on that. Kyalek, let's go over to you, and then Kevin, and then Aaron, and then Tanisha.
Hi. I love how you said that was a short, an hour to go through that thing. Yeah, I didn't know what a short one was, so I went through like the really long one on my computer. This is really awesome. But, I really focused on IQ principles because that's a big thing in our awards. But I really got through and thinking about that.
That's great. Thank you. Well, I did share two links. So I know I also shared the long one because sometimes people like to know where it's from. The other one was just a slide presentation to kind of summarize it. So I'll make sure I share the shorter one afterwards as well. Thank you. And I don't think Kevin and Aaron are in the room with you, right? Because you guys are all separate. But Kevin, do you want to jump in next?
Kayak's in the room with me.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go ahead then while we're using the same phone? Kayak, did you want to share anything or introduce yourself? I think you asked me to call you Torsten, so I will do that. I think it's important to use names that people ask to be used by. So, Torsten, did you have something that you'd like to share?
I don't have anything to share right now.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for replying to my message earlier this week, too. I appreciate that. Kevin, let's go over to you, and then Aaron, and then Tanisha. So, you know, if you've had a look at either the short summary presentation or the longer document that Kyalek mentioned, was there something that surprised you or something that stood out for you?
I haven't.
Yeah, no worries. So when you have a chance to have a look, you'll notice that there's, as a few other people have mentioned, that the IQ principles or the Inuit societal values sort of form a foundation like the ground. And then there's some different goals. There's five different goals that relate to recreation and sport that help people sort of understand what's important across your territory. And it's also used by your territorial government to make decisions about things like money and activities and programs and services. So when you get a chance, just see if you can spot where those goals are. Thank you. Aaron, how about yourself? Did you have a chance to have a look at it or not yet? And don't worry, I'm not. It's totally fine if you haven't had a chance.
No, I did look at it. Something that stood out to me about it was the duration, like how long they plan to keep the program going. They said that their goal was to keep it going until 2030. And I think that shows a lot of dedication.
It does. I think sometimes we make plans and we forget that sometimes a really big, like this is sort of a big vision, right, about how to help lead sport and recreation and physical activity in your territory over 10 years. And sometimes governments make plans a lot shorter, but it's really hard to make change in communities in a short period of time. So that was quite intentional to make this a longer period of time to give an opportunity for people to start to see some different changes or start to be able to feel successful. If we squish it too fast, sometimes we feel like we just can never quite do what we're supposed to do. So time is important, I think, when we want to make change. So thank you for that. That's a really interesting, like, I'm glad you picked up on that. Let's go to Tanisha then. Tanisha, would you like to introduce yourself and share something that surprised you about Nunavut Sport and Recreation System?
Hello, I'm Tanisha, and one thing that I was surprised of is all the hard work that athletes and the workers put into the make the program work with such a big crowd. Like, pulling it off is such a big part of getting it all done and making it successful, I guess.
That's so true. And sometimes, like you mentioned athletes, but you've also mentioned other people too, because sometimes we think it's, you know, something like the Arctic Winter Games is about the athletes, but for every athlete that goes to the Arctic Winter Games, there's probably 3 or 4 volunteers per athlete or even more that are needed. And I think that's why you as youth ambassadors, your group, it's such an important opportunity for you to be able to go as part of Team Nunavut and also volunteer to see that other side of it, that it's not just about playing the sport, it's also about supporting these experiences for everybody together. So thanks, Tanisha. That's a really, that's a very insightful way of looking at how our systems work. Now, did I miss anyone in the circle? Okay, I didn't hear anything, so I'm guessing I caught everybody. If I missed anybody, please just unmute and speak up. I won't mind at all. So last week and this week, we learned that the recreation and sports system is made up of lots of different parts. Parts that when we coordinate them or put them together, make the system work better. Some of the parts we talked about on our last call were things like facilities and transportation and money, and you've talked about volunteers last week and this week. So today we're going to look at the recreation and sports system kind of like an onion, if you think about it, something that we can peel apart by layers. So imagine, you know, like an onion that you take one outside layer off and there's still another layer and this onion kind of smells, so maybe it's not a good example, but it's the best one I can think of that way. If you looked at the presentation slides, you would have seen one which was on slide 16. It had some colored rings to show different, actually, sorry, it wasn't 16 because I changed the numbers. It's slide 18. It has some colored rings, and it shows you the different parts of the system, but a different way than what we talked about last week. So it shows you that things might happen. The inside of the circle or the inside of the onion is like your own community. So in your own community or even in a region, like some of your communities in Nunavut, you've got kind of 3 main administrative regions. And then it also happens at a territorial level, so across Nunavut. And then it happens at a bigger level, like nationally. So if you think about something like badminton, for example, or basketball or hockey, you might play that in your own community. So it might be local in your community. But then you might get the opportunity to go and meet territorially, like at a tournament. And then you might get a chance of going outside of your territory and doing it with a bigger group of people. It's kind of the same if you think about the Youth Ambassador Program. So right now you're each participating in your own communities. But in January you were going to come together and meet in Iqaluit. So then it would be territorial. And then for those of you who can go with Team Nunavut, you're going to be actually going internationally because it will be in Alaska. So it gives you an idea that we can have sport and recreation start in little small places or go really big with a lot of different people. Our sport and recreation system, if you think of this as a pie or an onion, it has these things called sections or sectors. So there's different parts of them. And so if you have a look at slide 18, it shows you that government is one part of the system. So you might have a hamlet government, you might have the GM Sport and Rec Division, or you might have like the Government of Canada, which is Sport Canada, for example. Another section is the nonprofit one. So some of you are familiar with the Recreation and Parks Association of Nunavut. That would be an example of a territorial nonprofit one. So let's see if we can come up with sort of some ideas or examples of organizations in each sector. So if you think about, and you don't have to answer this, I'll just sort of guide the conversation. And maybe think about it in your head, and then I'll pause for a moment and see if you can and guess which one it is. So if you think about your hamlet's recreation department, if it's run by the hamlet, think about, does that make it a government? Does that make it a nonprofit? Or does it make it kind of more a private or community group? And if it's a hamlet, is it local, territorial, or national? So if you think of your hamlet's recreation department, that is an example of a local government part or piece or layer of the system. Now, a year or two ago, an organization called the Nunavut Arctic Sports Association got formed. And I don't know if everyone's familiar with it, but often when you hear the word association, that tells you that it's nonprofit. So if it's the Nunavut Arctic Sports Association, do you think that that's a local, a territorial, or a national nonprofit? And then another example, and Harriet might be familiar with this one, is the Baker Lake Youth Athletic Association. So in your mind, think the word association means nonprofit. And then think of a word in that title, and it tells you the Nunavut Arctic Sports Association operates or serves people across the whole territory, but the Baker Lake Youth Athletic Association serves youth in Baker Lake, so on a lot smaller scale. If you think about the Arctic Winter Games, that's actually another, it's a little bit bigger because there's a lot of people representing, there's governments and things like that, but it's run by a council which would be considered a nonprofit organization. And that's international, so that's probably on the outside of the onion. So that's just some examples of different sectors. The other thing you might find is things like maybe you go to your northern store to get a donation of water for a sports activity or a recreation activity, or you know, another business like Canadian North might donate or give reduced airfares for traveling. So sometimes our private sector or our businesses also play a big role in the sport and recreation system. So it's really important. Sometimes we think of these as different pieces or different layers, but as we talked about last week, it's always important to work together. So we can do a lot more when we work with each other. So activities that yourselves as youth like to do, you need support from more than just the recreation department. It's important that the school supports you, the recreation department, wellness, and other groups and organizations so that you can have opportunities for recreation and sport in your communities. So on the next slide, which is slide 19, there's a list of some of the groups and organizations that work together. If you can't see it, don't worry about it right now. You can have a look later. But I'm just wondering if we can go around in our circle, and I'm going to see if we can, Kailak, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot because you're kind of in the middle of my list. But I'll get Henry to go first, and then we'll go Kailak, Chesterfield, Tanisha, Harriet, and Kingite. I'm just curious if there's an organization or group that supports recreation and sport in your community. And if there is, can you tell us who the group is and what they do and how it works in your community? And if you're not sure, that's okay too. And if you're sitting with a group of people, like there's a couple of you on the phone and one person wants to answer, go ahead. So, Henry, to give everyone a chance to think of their answer, could you share with us one group or organization that supports recreation or sport in Iqaluit and tell us who it is, what they do, and how it benefits your community?
Sure. So for us in Iqaluit, of course, the division that I work for is the Sport and Recreation Division. So we're kind of like the hub for all of Nunavut. We manage all the sports and within the territory, overseeing organizations, not-for-profits. Basically, everybody kind of goes through us. And we support through funding and preparing for major games, planning for community events, territorial events. So the list is quite long, but the Sport and Recreation Division is more of like the central hub where all the organizations within the territories come to get more information and learn more about how to develop their organization. So I would say that's probably like the biggest factor when it comes to developing sport within the territory is the Sport and Recreation Division itself. So, yeah.
That's great. And that's an example of government, as you mentioned. So that gives us an idea of how they help across, as you said, the whole territory. So thank you. Kayalak, and I think you said Torsten's on or Kayak's on the phone with you. If you guys have an example of a group in your community that supports sport or recreation, can you tell us a little bit about them? Okay, and I'm not sure if you're muted because I can't hear anything. But I also it also looks like the call's dropped. So let's go. Kevin, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great. Do you have an idea? Like I know you've told us that you like music. Are there any organizations or groups in your community that support music for people? Not really. Okay, I'm not sure. I think I can't hear Kevin. Can you guys hear me? Henry, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah, I can still hear Caroline. That's probably the blizzard kicking in and disconnecting them potentially.
Yeah, it looks like Kayalak got disconnected. So let's try Aaron. Are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so Aaron, how about for you? Is there a group or organization that supports recreation and sport in your community that you can tell us a little bit about?
I'm not 100% sure about any groups or organizations that support it like that, but I do know that the school had been hosting our community's Inuit games while that was happening.
Yeah, so the school is an important partner, I guess you could say, in sport and recreation, right? Like most of you, I think, are supported by teachers or are your mentors, I think. Am I correct?
Yes.
Hello. I off the call, so I'm back.
I know, I'll come back to you. I saw your number pop back up again, so thank you. So Aaron was just talking about how the school is an important, I guess let's use the word partner because they or an important contributor or an important group or in your community that helps people have opportunities related to sport and recreation. Are there other ways, Aaron, that you can think of that the like? Do you have any specific examples of what the school does to support sport and recreation?
I know that there were some athletes who had been, like, sleeping at the school when they had to pass through the community to go and do sports. I don't know which community area they were going to. I know that on some nights, some of the teachers stayed back and, like, do some type of sports stuff in the gym.
Yeah, those are two really good examples. So the school provides a facility or a space when people need to use that space. And the teachers, like all the teachers that I have ever known in my life, and I'm getting a little bit older, have always given so much more than what their job is. Like, they give a lot to make communities a very special place. And a really important way, or one way that they do that, is through coaching sports or opening the gym at night or things like that. So those are two really good examples. Thank you for sharing that. Kailak, let's come back to you and whoever's on the phone with you. So what we're just asking is if you can tell us about a group or an organization that supports recreation or sport in your community. So who is it, what do they do, and how does it benefit everybody?
Well, CIBC is a big thing, Church Development Corporation, because every year we have this, like, CIBC, like, just a lot of people really fun, and so they do a lot of stuff like
I can tell you talking, but I think it's cutting out a little bit. I did catch the development corp or the development corporation. Is that correct? Did you catch any more, Henry, of that? Or is it?
No, that was pretty choppy for myself too.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's a really great example, because some of our communities, or in the case of the Yukon, which is different to Nunavut, some of our First Nations have development corporations. And you guys are also in Nunavut, you also have for each region an Inuit association, and those are all really good supporters or potentially good supporters of sport and recreation. So great example. Thank you very much. Tanisha, let's go to you in Kuklukuk. Can you think of a group or organization that supports recreation or sport in your community? And can you tell us a little bit about who they are, what they do, and how it benefits?
Hi. One of the sport and recreation that helps us is the school, and they sort of do, like, fundraisers and open the gym for the community. And quite a few of the teachers go to Rankin this weekend to take the boys' soccer. Also, the government helps with a lot of fundraising and donations.
That's great. Sorry, go ahead.
There's some people in the community that do, like, draws and whatnot on their own for fundraising for the sports here. So I guess that's one of them.
That's great. So it sounds like fundraising helps your sport, your different groups in your organization, but many different sectors or pieces of the system or layers help do that work, because it's not just one person's job alone. So that's a great example. Thank you for that. Hopefully your soccer team going to Rankin doesn't have weather issues.
Yeah, they're stuck until Friday.
Oh, okay. Stuck down there or at home?
In Rankin.
Right. Well, I guess I get home for the weekend then. So thanks, Tanisha. And let's go to Harriet and then to King Knight. So, Harriet, I did mention the Baker Lake Youth Athletic Association. You could either tell us about them, or is there another group or organization that comes to mind for your community that really supports recreation and sport?
Yeah, the Baker Lake Youth Athletic Association is also a nonprofit organization, and they help fundraise so that the athletes can go to tournaments, and it helps provide more opportunities for the kids.
That's great. I think they do a lot of programs as well, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so that's a really good example of a nonprofit association. It's pretty unique in most of Nunavut. I haven't heard of any other communities that have quite the same association as you do in Baker Lake. So very much a big contributor to sport and recreation opportunities. So thank you. How about over to King 8? And Kelly, again, you can either speak on everybody's behalf, or one other person can speak on everyone's behalf, or everybody can speak. Whatever works best for your group.
Hi, it's Dennis. I'm going to speak for everyone on this, but there's a group that forms up every after summer. They're known as the Hockey Moms. They're mothers of hockey players, and they fundraise all year long and fundraise for their kids to go on clinic time and play on a hockey tournament.
That is so great. So, and they call themselves Hockey Moms?
They're known as the Hockey Moms.
Oh, that's wonderful. And do they necessarily have their children playing hockey, or maybe they just do it because they want all kids to be able to play hockey?
It's for all kids, but mainly their children.
That's great. And it's a lot of work to fundraise for hockey, because I think it was maybe Aaron last week who was telling us about how expensive hockey can be. So to have that support from a group, and that's a really good example of a community group. They probably don't have a formal organization like a nonprofit society, and they're not a business, but they're there to support sport and recreation, and I bet there's lots of kids who wouldn't have the chance to play if that group didn't exist. Thanks a lot, Dennis. Does anyone else in Kingite want to share any other examples?
We had a student, he graduated 2 years ago. He got a permission from the principal to open up the gym on his free time, and he helped create a community soccer team. So that was really great, too, because everyone was welcome to come.
That's so great. It's really, really helpful when the principals and the schools are supportive, because in some really small communities, that might be the only facility, the indoor facility that you have, right? You might not have another gym or another community hall or somewhere to go. So schools are a really important place, but it also takes people, just like you said. So thank you. Anything else from Kingite to add, or are those the two examples you guys talked about?
That's basically everything.
That's good, though. We got lots of great examples. So we've talked about government, and we've talked about community groups, and you've talked about schools. So you can see that all of those different pieces, again, or layers of the onion or parts of the pie, all help the sport and recreation system work together. I just wanted to share a little bit more. There's a couple of other slides in there. You don't have to really read them, but I really want to emphasize that recreation especially is about doing things together. So I've been really fortunate to hear a lot of great stories about how people step up, how people do things for each other in recreation. And it's something for you to think about when you're thinking ahead to your community engagement project, is what can I do to support my community, but who in my community do I need to help me? Because sometimes in recreation, we have some recreation coordinators or leaders that they're in a role and they don't know who else to ask for help, or maybe people just expect them to do all of it. And it just works better when we do things together. We get more benefits, more people can participate. There's different activities that they can do and things like that. And there are also, one of the slides, number 20, explains that there's also different ways to work together. You don't always have to sit together and plan together and do something together. Sometimes it's also just about sharing information. So I know in some of the communities that I've worked with, people have great ideas and plan something, but if you don't know that something else is happening at that time in the community, then the community feels like they're a little bit divided. They have to go to one or the other. So even just networking and coordinating what you're doing. So with your community engagement projects, if you're planning something for a certain day, especially if it's a community activity, think about what else might be happening in the community and make sure that you find out if there's anything that might conflict or happen at the same time as what you're doing. Sometimes we just need to share resources. So that might be going, you know, for your community engagement project, you might go to a group or a business and ask them for some support. The fundraising examples that all of you shared are really great examples of supporting something without somebody actually leading the activity. So that might be something also that you might want to think about. So those are sort of some ways that our system works together. And I think some of you, are, at least I hope some of you were able to take the time to do activity number 4. So there was a short presentation that you could read, and then I gave you 2 different sorts of, they're kind of more of a fun game or quiz that you were able to try and learn a little bit more about Nunavut sport and recreation system. So what I'm going to do right now, we have a few minutes left before I explain next week's activity. I'm just going to have a quick look at what some of you have posted, and if there's any questions that I can answer for you, we're going to jump in and do that. And if you haven't posted your activity for this week, don't worry about it yet. I just have to change where I am on my computer page, and then I will be right there. Okay, so let's see. So Harriet, thank you for sharing your post. You've got a really good question. So Harriet asked the question, how do we keep coaches from leaving? And since that's Harriet's question, I'm just going to ask us to go around the circle and see if anybody has any ideas about how we can keep coaches and keep people coaching. What do we do to support our coaches for sports so that they stay there? So that's Harriet's question. So next in the circle, and again, you can pass because I'm putting everybody on the spot with these questions, but does anyone from Kingite have any ideas about how we can keep coaches from leaving?
Most of our coaches are teachers.
Right. So that's really hard, right? Because teachers often come into your community for a while and then sometimes they move to another community. What are some ways that you could, let me ask you, because there's 4 of you sitting there, right, in Kingite. What are some ways that you can support your coaches while they're there? What are some things that you can do to help them feel like their time is valuable and that you really need their help coaching?
Show up on time, help clean up. Say thank you.
Yeah.
Manners.
That's right. So doing things so that they feel valuable, right? So that's great. So that was a really good question by Harriet. How do we keep coaches from leaving? So let's see the next one here. And I'm just reading them out just for interest. If you don't feel like you need to answer them, that's fine. So Hattie's asked a question, is there a post-secondary diploma specific to Nunavut for sport and recreation? And that's an excellent question. So there isn't really, in all three territories, there isn't a post-secondary certificate or diploma for sport or for recreation. If somebody wants to get post-secondary training, they have to go outside of all three territories. And that's one of the reasons we started the Recreation North training program. So for those of you who are interested, you're going to be doing either three or four, I'm not quite sure yet, of our learning events towards a certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. And if you're interested, once you've done four of those, there's a few more that you need to do in order to earn your certificate. And that's an option. So maybe I'll make a note, and when I come and meet with you in Iqaluit, if anyone's interested in getting more training around sport or recreation, that would be a really good conversation to have, to share with you how you do that. So Henry, can you and I make a note maybe to add a way of answering that question to the agenda for the summit?
Sure.
Okay, and Athena, I see that you've popped a question in that you're wondering about funding and organized sports for elementary school age students outside of school. Athena, not to put you on the spot, but could you just let me know, are there any things that are happening for elementary age students outside of school, or are they all school related in your community?
There's basically nothing going on to help. Nothing.
So if you were able to start something, what do you think would be useful? Like, what type of organized sport or recreation would you think your community would like to see for elementary age students outside of school?
Hi, Caroline, it's Kelly. I was going to add, last year, our youth ambassadors for one of the community engagement projects did Saturday sports for the grades 5 and 6s. But the younger kids really get left out, so I guess that's something that we can look at the group to see if we can provide something for the younger kids, like the grade 3 and 4s. They don't really have anything.
And that's really hard because we want them to build good habits of participating and being active as young as possible. So that might be a really good conversation for your group to talk about. And anybody else, if you find that this is the same in your community, think about it, because when we come together in Iqaluit, we're going to, Henry and myself, are going to help you plan your community engagement project. So this is what we call a gap. So if there isn't anything that's organized for grade 3 and 4 students, what might be organized? We don't want to do something that's so hard that it takes hours and hours of time because you're all busy, but is there something small that you could start with? So great question. Thank you very much, Athena. And Kelly, maybe a good conversation for you guys to have while you're sitting on the plane or anything like that.
Hi, this is Anissa from Pond Inlet. I was wondering if I could pipe in and just give a suggestion.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So I was taking my notes and I was trying to just stay out of it, but in previous years, some of our Aulayaktuk students, so students taking the Aulayaktuk courses and trying to attain their volunteer hours, have started doing little projects after school at the elementary school, and they would volunteer their time, and then they would have like a big treasure hunt game up at our school kind of to end their week. And it would only be like certain weeks at a time, but that is something that maybe if you're taking LAF to classes and you're trying to get some volunteer hours, that that could be one of your projects that you guys suggest or come up with. So just wanted to share what has been done in Fondenlet in the past.
Thank you. And how many hours, is that about 30 hours of volunteer time, or is it different in Nunavut?
It's about 25 hours, but sometimes the students want to go for more, so we have that opportunity as well.
And it's amazing how younger children look up to youth as well, like to older students. It's a really great way to see people in your leadership growth plans talked about role models. And I think being a role model by doing that for younger students, having activities that they can participate in, is it goes a long way, because then they'll remember that, and maybe when they're older, they'll do it for younger students too. So thank you, Anissa. Maybe that's, I'm not sure if you're coming to Iqaluit or not, or maybe it's something you and Catherine can talk about how to blend the two together, or, you know, like you said, if somebody needs those volunteer hours, they could do both. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Dennis, yeah, thanks. Dennis has a question about Dennis, you were wondering about how to hire coaches for your sport and recreation system. And I think that's it's kind of a flip side of Harriet's question about how do we make sure they don't leave. But a lot of coaches do it on a volunteer basis. So we have to find other ways. I don't know too many coaches that get paid for their coaching, which maybe is good or maybe is not so good. But sometimes we have to think about what can we do to attract people to coaching. And one of the things that we often do is to give them coach training. So there's that might be something else that Henry, maybe Henry, we can explain how coaching and the NCCP, the National Coaching Certification Program, work, because that might be a great thing for youth ambassadors to understand as well. Okay, and let's see if we've got, I think we have time for one more question. So, Kailak, you asked the question, what does, and I think that she's off the call now, but what does the government have planned to do with small communities that don't get a lot of publicity or attention? I think that's a really big question to answer in a few minutes. And in sport and recreation, it's hard because there are a lot of volunteers, as you've pointed out. And sometimes it's not so much what the government does, it's what the people ask for from the government. So for yourselves as youth ambassadors, in a couple of years you might not be a youth ambassador, but you might understand how the sport and recreation system works. And maybe you'll understand where to get money to do something like offer an after-school program for grade 3 and 4 students. And it's that sort of knowledge of people understanding where they can go to get resources and how you can do it yourselves in your community, rather than asking the government to do it for you. So I think that that's a short answer to that question. So the last thing I wanted to do just before we wrap up our call is, and I think some of you have already seen this, is I have a list for next week. And I see a number of people's names already in there, so I just want to go through it so everyone's clear. So what you do is the list is for your activity next week after you finish the one for this week. And again, if you need a little bit more time, just send me a message and say, Caroline or Henry, I need an extra week, and that's okay. But for the activity, it's called Who is Who in Nunavut? And so what we'd like you to do is to introduce an organization or group, just like you kind of did on the phone, that's part of Nunavut's recreation and sport system. And what is a bit more fun here is I've seen some people and they write it down. But I've seen other people who draw pictures, take pictures off the internet, make a slide presentation, make a little short movie, record their voice and explain it with their voice. So I'd like to encourage you to try a creative way. However you like to express yourself or present, try one of those ways for this activity. if you're not sure how to post it in the forum, you can ask me, and I will. You can always send it to me by text or in email or something like that as well. So each person, and I think everyone's got the hang of this, each person chooses a different organization. And if there's something that's on the list or not on the list and you really want to present on it, just let me know and you can add it to the list. So far we have Harriet, you've chosen the Baker Lake Youth Athletic Association. Sheila chose Hockey Nunavut. And Dennis, I see you chose the Hockey Canada Foundation. And take a look at what they've done in Nunavut, because they were there pretty recently, so you might want to share some of that. There's some neat YouTube videos about when they came to Nunavut. Asina, I see that you've chosen Nunavut Arctic Sports Association, and if you need a hand finding any information on that, just let me know and I'll try and put you in touch with some people. And Happy's chosen the Nunavut Basketball Association. Tim has chosen Team Nunavut, which is a great choice because Team Nunavut is the one that represents Nunavut at the Arctic Winter Games. So that will be fun to share a little bit about Team Nunavut. Kiana's chosen the Recreation and Parks Association of Nunavut. And Tanisha, you've chosen Volleyball Nunavut, which is great. So again, if you need a hand figuring out where to get information, let me know. So is there anybody on the call that if you haven't chosen one, but you know which one you'd like to choose? Let's just see here. So from King, I think we're missing, are we missing one person or did we get everyone, Kelly, from King Knight?
We got everyone.
Excellent. And we got everybody from, we got Harriet from Baker Lake. Anissa, do you know who Catherine might choose?
Not at this moment, but we'll be discussing things probably tomorrow or the next day.
Okay, great. And if there's something on the list or that's not on the list that you'd like to choose, just let me know, and that's totally fine too. Thank you. Kevin, did you have a chance to look at the list to see which organization you might choose? Or Aaron, did you have a chance? Okay, I think maybe the phones aren't working so great with Chesterfield right now.
I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, if you have a problem, if you're not sure where to find the list, just send me a message and I'll send you the list. Just choose one that somebody else hasn't chosen. So there's ones like Sport Nunavut, there's the Jays Care Foundation. There is the Government of Nunavut Sport and Recreation Division that Henry should give you some information about. There's the Arctic Inspiration Prize. So there's some different ones that are listed there that you can choose from. And Tanisha, I see that you've made your choice too. So does anyone have any questions about this last activity before I sign off from the call? Okay, so really all you're doing then is making a presentation, however you'd like to make it, that includes the organization's name, how to contact them, the type of organization it is, and what they do around sport and recreation, and how they make sport and recreation better in Nunavut. So thank you very much. This wraps up our conference call. Nakarmik, Kwanak, Yanamik, Merci, Mana. And if you'd like to, I'm going to stay on the line for a few minutes. If you have any questions, just stay on the line after I stop the recording. And if not, I hope you all stay warm and don't get bombarded too much by the blizzard that's going on in some of your communities. I know not everybody. And I'm looking forward, I won't be talking to you, but I wish you all the best for all the Christmas games that take place in your communities. And I look forward to meeting you in January. Thank you, everybody.